Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 101 episode of the Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Botty. How are you, mate?
I'm really, really good, and I'm very much looking forward to interviewing our guest today. This will be sort of our World Cup, Women's World Cup swan song. Farewell to that. And I can think of no better guest to have on, so I'll let you do the intros, Brad.
100%. Rose gold, baby. I love it. Born and bred in Melbourne, Victoria, she played her junior competition in Nunawading. In 2009, she joined the WNBL for the Dandenong Rangers, and in 10, attended the Australian Institute of Sport, where she had a number of years. She then returned to the WNBL for the Melbourne Boomers, where she went on to win the Robin Maher Best Defensive Player of the Year. Man, could Robin Maher defend, hey, buddy?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Her first selection for the Australian Opals women's team was in 2014 at the World Championships held in Turkey, where they went on to win the bronze medal. After that World Champion, she signed with the New York Liberty for the 2015 WNBA season, which she has now just completed her seventh season. While playing in the WNBA, she also continued to play for the Opals, and in 18 they won a silver medal at the World Championships in Spain. She's played in leagues in Spain, in France. She's an absolute legend, and it was only a few weeks ago that she, along with all the other girls, won the rose gold medal, and it still gives me goosebumps, in the 2022 FIBA World Cup. She is an absolute superstar of our sport and one of the most likable people you could meet. Please welcome Beck Allen. Beck, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. What an introduction, my gosh.
Thank you. He spends weeks doing that stuff, preparing for that.
Mate, I did your one about a year ago, just praying you'd come on eventually, so don't feel bad.
You did well. You made me think, oh, I've done a couple of things, which is good, so I appreciate that.
Well, that's where we like to start, right at the beginning. So how did it start for you? Like, how did basketball become your sport as opposed to any other sport, netball, football, whatever else is going? But what was your introduction to the sport?
Well, honestly, I was a netballer, which is a controversial thing amongst a lot of basketballers. I still love that sport a lot. Like, I enjoy it, and I'll be honest, I wanted to play because they played it in a dress. I thought that was so cool. So it was probably a shallow reason for wanting to be a part of that. But then I ended up wanting to play basketball because my best friend at the time in primary school, she was playing, and I wanted to play with her. And then from that, my love of the game took off because you could do everything. Whereas in netball, I was always goal defense, basketball, you could shoot it, you could run everywhere, play defense, do a bit of everything. So, yeah.
Great answer. My daughter was like that, and she plays netball now for that dress reason. That's exactly right.
Oh, really?
So I'm still
so
trying to convert her.
It's not just me.
Yeah, I'm going to convert her. I'll mention, please listen to what Beck said. I want to talk about the Institute because I love getting the intrigueness from everyone. Mm. First off, how did you get there? But I also want to ask, did you enjoy it? Because the Institute, every time we've spoken to someone, there's no middle area. It's like, I loved it, or it wasn't really for me. So please, over to you.
I'll be 100% honest. I made sure after year 12. So I finished my year 12 here in Melbourne at Carey. That was a huge priority for me and my family, and I'm forever so grateful that I did that. And I was only at the Institute for just over a year because for me, I felt trapped. And it wasn't an environment really for me because it was all basketball all day, all your focus. And for me, even in life still now, I can't be just 100% basketball. So, yeah, for me, it wasn't my environment, if I'm completely honest. But it was still a good stepping stone for me in my career now. So thankful for it, but a year was enough.
No, that's a great answer.
So that would also explain why you wouldn't have been interested in going to play college basketball. It would have been more of the same.
No, yes and no. I think college wasn't as big then because the Institute was where it was. We were still playing in the WNBL. It was still, like, the system was different. I think if you would ask me this question now and I was 18, maybe I would go to college, but I'm also happy that I didn't because that's another 4 years that you're away from home. Yeah. And then you go to playing overseas and that's a lot of time to be spending abroad, I think. And maybe there's that burnout element. I'm not sure. I didn't do it, so it's a hindsight comment, but yeah, I think in that moment, I would still choose going to the Institute every time.
I want to just stay on this for a minute because I love the word where you say you're a homebody. As someone who played basketball like myself, I was very much like that. I did have a college offer, but I stayed here and played what is now the NBL one, but it was the ABA. Was that a mindset that you're just like, I just don't feel comfortable being overseas without family around me?
I don't know. It's funny because I feel like when I was a junior coming through, I wasn't thinking I want to play in the WNBA, I want to play in Europe. Those weren't the two things. But things eventuated as you started sort of getting to the top. Like I only really knew a lot about the WNBA when I was with the Australian team doing a tour in America, you know, and it sounds funny that I didn't know enough about it in that point, but that's when I got the thing of I want to play over there and I think I can, you know, So it's not like I was someone who, as a 16-year-old, had these goals of this is where I want to be. I think that everything has just sort of flourished as I've sort of grown into, I guess, the person I am. And I've also found how to love being overseas, even if there's not family there with you. Like, I mean, I'm speaking to them every day. So I still feel them close, even with that distance.
Great answer.
Yeah. And Europe gives you not just basketball, but it gives you a life experience as well that you can't really duplicate here. Language. Is language an issue when you get to Europe?
I mean, it can sometimes be really sad when you're sitting at the dining table with everyone else, like when we're on the road and you understand nothing of what's being said. I'm learning Spanish at the moment. Like, it'll be my third year playing with Valencia Basket coming up when I get over there. And I need to show that I've improved.
Well, just so you know, I've been to college to try and learn to speak Botti because I've been sitting with him for a year and I still can't understand him, but don't feel bad at all.
He can't understand me because I speak English.
It'll forever be a work in progress.
Can I just ask, after the WNBL, how did you get to the WNBA? Well, my memory is a bit vague on that. Were you drafted or did someone spot you on a tour?
Someone spotted me on a tour. When we went, I can't remember what year it was, but it was one of my first years with the Australian team. We went on a tour to America and we played a whole lot of the WNBA teams in their preseason. And that's how I got a whole lot of offers, actually. And so, and I just said, I want to do it. I remember calling my agent at the time who I was with, and I was like, that's something I really want to do. And he really made that happen. So it's something I'm super grateful for.
Have you been given offers to come back in the off season to go to the WNBL and thought this is just not for me?
Yes. Like, I mean, I know that I've always sort of got that home of coming back to somewhere like in Melbourne or Dandenong being Southside now, but I've really enjoyed the challenge of Europe and I feel like I've developed quite a name over there. And I don't know, for me, it's like that challenge isn't over yet. It was funny when I decided to go over to Europe, I was like, okay, I want to do 3 years minimum because I felt like doing 1 year and coming back isn't good enough. I don't know. I think, I'm not saying that for everyone else. I'm just saying that for me.
Great.
It's like you haven't given it enough of a chance. And I'm so glad I did because the first 2 years were hard. Like, they were hard grind years. And then I really found myself and I found how to, I don't know, just be all in rather than living on that side of doubt of, am I going to get cut? And do they not want me? And there's that doubt that sometimes comes as a player. And I've sort of learned how to outgrow that and just be like, you know what, you've got to be all in, commit to the moment, commit to the process of being there. And I don't know, success sort of follows that.
No, I think it's fabulous. I'm so intrigued in hearing all of this. So when you're making a decision, you're doing your number of years for New York and you make that decision, righto, I may have an offer in Australia or in Spain or in France or in whatever it is that all about what's the right for me for basketball? Or is it more, no, what's right for me with life because I can play basketball anywhere?
Yeah, life, because I think that's always been my big one. I know that I couldn't play in Turkey or Russia or even just maybe some really small towns now. Like my first year in Europe, I was in Slovakia and I was in a really small town and I realized I can't do that again because I'm unhappy. I'm not a happy person. And I think when you're a happy person, you play well because everything 100%. Is connected.
Yeah, 100%.
Everything's connected, and especially having something else that you're doing at the same time. So my first years in Europe, I was studying still, so I was doing online with Deakin, and And that was a really good thing just for me to have something else that was going at the same time. Now I don't have study because I'm finished, thank God. But at the same time, it's like, okay, what's my next thing going to be? Just so I keep my brain going because, I mean, I don't know, talking basketball all day can be a little bit brain numbing.
Oh, yeah, look what it's done to Brad.
That was my side comment. It was like slap at the end.
But when you say you're done studying, what were you studying? What have you graduated in?
Yeah, I got my master's in marketing. So that's wow. an area that I'm wanting to try and get into after basketball or even during. Like I know not for a whole lot longer. I'm going to be doing two seasons in a year, you know, yep. going back and forth between the WNBA and Europe just because, like, I'm about to be 30. And, I mean, it is old in terms of the body and the knees and the mind also. And so I know that I'm nearing the end of that. So I do want to have that sort of, you know, transition in there at some point.
Well, that really leads to my next question was, how is the body with someone that has played as much as you are playing with NBA, the WNBA, with the Opals, with everything? Is the body okay? And how do you give that rest time to get ready?
Yeah, I mean, in this current moment, the answer is no, not doing super well.
Yep.
I'll get to
but
that.
It's on the mend. Exactly, it's on the mend. But in general, I think I've found it's more so the mind in some ways, just getting that break between the two seasons and how it's each thing you're going to is a high pressure. So it's like you're going somewhere, I go to Spain and you're one of the key players. So there's a high expectation. You go to the WNBA. It's extraordinarily competitive. There's another high expectation. So, and then you go and join the Australian team. And again, it's maybe more for personal pressure that I put on with that. And so it's sort of, you go from pressure to pressure to pressure without a break. And I find maybe that was getting to the point of being a little bit exhausting. So right now I've got a little bit of a break and I'm making the most of that for the mental side and just reconnecting, which has been lovely. But body wise, I've had a lot of injuries, but some of them have been, you know, not like a 9-month one for a long time, you know, touch wood.
Mm. Yeah. And that's where I was coming from with the body. I mean, I know we'll talk about, you know, injuries and all that. I was more meaning that day-to-day grind stuff, you know, your knees, your ankles and stuff. Is the WNBA like fully equipped for all that, you know, ice bars, you know, everything that, you know, straight, is that a routine?
Yeah, I mean, we're spoiled, especially in Brooklyn, where we are now with our owners and stuff. The locker room, what they give us access to there is next to none. Like, I've never experienced anything like it. And especially for our first ownership was with the Knicks, and we shared a facility with them out in White Plains. And now with new ownership, we're in Brooklyn-based and we're tied with the Nets.
Wow.
And it's just gone from, you know, it's just gone up to unbelievable how we are treated as individuals first and then as a team collectively too. So, yeah, those ice baths, you've got your masseuse, you've got access to so much there. It's great.
And people just don't realise how much that can extend your career. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's huge. Yep. It's huge. Mm. And then you start to invest in yourself with, like, you know, I've now got a game ready or something, and you know, people get a Normatec or all these other things that you use, just if what you need, and if it's ice, if it's compression, like you do sort of get that for yourself because it is about that longevity.
Have you got, well, do you have much to do with the Nets? Like, do you see Patty Mills wandering around from time to time or Ben Simmons and say, hey, g'day, and everybody starts talking Aussie slang?
Yeah, well, Ben actually came to a few games this last season, which I thought was great. Him and a few of the other players, and Ben made it always an effort to come up and say hi to me, and that's something that I really appreciated considering, I mean, yes, he is an Australian basketballer, but I haven't had a lot to do with him. So, I mean, obviously here in the media here, there can be a lot of criticism, but my personal experience has been really, really good. So, I don't know, I'm excited to see how he goes this season with the Nets, but also just how that they really do try to create that link between the two programs, even though they are very separate.
Yep. Mm. Now, here's a question for you, and I don't know if you're going to be able to really answer it, but you've had your entire WNBA career at New York Liberty. That just doesn't seem to happen very often, where someone doesn't get traded after, say, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. How is that? Like, you obviously must be a part of the furniture.
She's bloody good. She's good. That's why.
That's obvious. But, like, you still, teams do have different needs at different times, and then someone becomes expendable. Doesn't matter who it is. So it's just a curiosity to me, and a wonderful thing that you're a one club player, basically. So you get to know.
You get to know people, you get to know New York, you get to know the thing that makes it so. Yes, it's been one club, but I've had four coaches in that time. So it's almost been like there's a new thing that sort of happened quite a lot. So, yes, it's been the same club and there's been new ownership, there's been so many changes within. So it's sort of like it's almost a different club in some moments with it. So, but at the same time, I've really enjoyed not changing clubs. And it's also, it's sort of a nice nod to me personally for having, even with the new coaches, they're choosing to keep me there, even when they're creating a whole new team. And I think some of it just comes with, like, maybe ego and personality in some sense. Like, it's I think that I can fit in quite well with, and I'm not high maintenance. I mean, some people can, I do want my water bottle immediately when I come off the court, I will be honest.
Oh my God, you are high maintenance, my goodness.
No idea. It freaks out every trainer. It's just something I need. And now it's known by, I think, every club I've ever played at.
How do you go with the, I don't know how to phrase this, but the American BS, because there's a lot of BS with American basketball, you know, people indicating their threes and doing, you know, jumping up and down and carrying on. Like, how do you cope with those aspects of being an Aussie, where we're sort of a little more laid back and relaxed about what we're doing? Do you give into it, Beck? Do you end up having to do it yourself, or do you sort of just step off it and go, okay, you guys do that crap?
I think it's sort of gone through a wave, I'll be honest, because at the start I was like, oh my gosh, I just don't fit in. And now I'm just like, I'm okay with it, and I'm me. And because if I was to start jumping up and in some of the celebrations, it would look so awkward if I did that. You know what I mean? It just wouldn't look right. So it's like, don't fake it, Beck. Don't fake it. I mean, I think that I'm appreciated just even for how I will show my support or my celebration or whatever it is. But I think I've fitted in by not trying to
fit in
the mold.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I want to transfer to the Opals. Let's talk about Tokyo first. All right, the one that we have to talk about, and then we'll get to the resurrection or whatever people want to call it. the disappointment in Tokyo. Talk to me about that. It would have been hard.
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. It was one that I really struggled to talk about, and maybe really still haven't spoken about since, because just for me personally, I was extraordinarily disappointed. I wanted to showcase so much more from, I guess, what I've done over the years too, and I put too much pressure on myself, and I'm someone also that prides a lot on, I guess, how the lead up to a big tournament, and then I guess my lead up wasn't as you would want it planned. You know, I had a little injury, but it's something that I let dictate me, I guess, going into stress. And I don't know, just for all of us, there was so many other stressful elements leading into it, and it became overwhelming. And I just think that, I mean, lots of people can obviously have their opinions from outside, but I think really being inside it was almost like you're going in a spiral down and you just don't know how to get out of it. It was one of those types of feelings for me personally, and a really difficult moment in my career, like the hardest moment.
So continuing on with that, and now we go into the Worlds here in Sydney, did you as players, and I'm meaning more you, did you feel like, just leave Tokyo alone? I don't want to go there. Can we just concentrate? Because all the talk was redemption, you know, here we go, and we're making up for it, and it's culture, and it's all it. Was that a good thing? Was it a motivating thing? Or was it like, just enough?
For me, I don't like bringing up the Tokyo stuff, because I just think that there's so many elements that were out of our control in general that was difficult, as well as what was in our control. Yes, I got sick of bringing up the past sometimes, but what I was happy with is that, yes, the culture word was thrown around a lot, but it was actually, we put the work into it. I felt like we did so many of these Zoom calls. We did so many of these conversations about building us. And sometimes when you're doing it, you can go, oh gosh, like here we go again, it's just words. But I actually felt that, especially after you saw us playing in this last world, I think you saw it all come into effect, because I think that we had each other's back, and it was just a really enjoyable campaign where, I felt so from everyone, and it was just a really enjoyable tournament.
Were you in attendance at that particular camp in New York? I'd presume you were, where Patty Mills also addressed the team about culture. You missed that?
I wasn't able to be there at that, because I think we had something on with the New York team. It was really hard juggling both in that moment, but I went to everything I could, but I missed that. I missed that speech.
And I think also, though, getting Lauren back into this group, someone who was part of the best culture that the Opals had back probably a decade or more ago, that also would have helped. I'm sure she had just. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think she would have been intruding in things. But I think anytime she was asked something, everyone would have listened.
And that's exactly right. There was no intrusion. There was no, this is how we should do it because we did it back then. It wasn't like that. And I appreciated that, because the game has evolved and everything else too. So I felt that when she spoke, when she speaks, everyone listens anyway. Like, of course, she's just got this all this knowledge that comes with her. But that's the thing that I really, really enjoyed about playing alongside her, is that when she spoke, it was necessary. It was direct, and it was understood, I felt like, by everyone. So I thought that she played a really good role in that sense.
How thrilled were you for her in the bronze medal game?
Epic. I was saying, do not take her out of the game until she has that 30. It was unreal, and it was just like seeing old school Lauren, and I thought that was, what a way to, nod to the crowd at the end and say what an incredible career. So what a way to finish.
Well, let's talk about you at the Worlds, and you came out of the blocks bang. You were just outstanding. And look, as someone who knows you from afar, I will be honest and say I don't get to watch all of your WNBA games. I don't get that with the time frame. I knew you were good. I didn't know you were that good. And that's honestly coming from the heart. Watching you was just like, wow. Did you feel that out there? Because, again, I think it was France, wasn't it? First game. You were just unstoppable. Forget you lost. I don't want to talk about that one. Right? But just unstoppable. You just looked amazing. Did it feel like that?
I just really wanted to come out on the front foot and be aggressive. I think that's what I sort of kept telling myself, but patient, aggressive, but patient. That's sort of what I try to say to myself, because when I become impatient, that's when you start to force a few things, I was honestly, for me, looking back at this tournament in general, I'm extremely proud of myself for a lot of reasons. I'm happy with how I played. I'm happy with how I kept my head the whole time, and that's from start to finish in terms of having that injury and just being positive. I think it just showed a lot of growth in general.
Good for you. Absolutely.
I felt the same of a couple of players actually that really had grown into the role now. I should say, we should qualify that Brad only actually came to that first game. He didn't show up again for the rest of the World Cup. He watched it on TV, but he was sitting with me and
No. Can I just elaborate why? Because when I sat next to Boddy, he was just chewing my ear off for 40 minutes. I just want to sit and watch you guys play. Okay. I loved
anybody
it,
who
and
knows
I didn't miss
me,
a minute.
Anybody who knows me knows that isn't true. But here is the thing, though. He turns to me at the end of the game and he says, well, I'm not coming again, because if Beck Allen's going to play that well and we're still going to lose, then this team ain't worth watching.
No, I did not.
Lies being thrown around.
But you were my favourite player, I'm not going to lie.
No question.
Oh, that's lovely. I'll take that. Thank you.
Now, when the injury occurred, I think it was the Serbian game, you got the sandwich late in the game. That obviously there was just nowhere to go when you got two people coming at you from either side.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
There's only one place to go, and that's down.
Yeah.
Beck, I'm going to ask a question though, as someone that went through and you know, those injuries happen in games, right? And you get through them. Like that's just life, right? And you go through it. Mm-hmm. But as someone that had to go through this and then play every second day, I'm sorry, that's not easy. So yes, mm-hmm. you spoke about the mentally, what did you have to do to get prepared for that? Cause it's not easy when you're backing up so quickly.
It's hard with the backing up and all of that. And it was so much more, like, I mean, I was in a lot of pain, and I think it was just that mental side of, okay, just it's only a world championship that you play through that amount of pain, I guess. And so it was just a difficult moment. I will be honest. It was just a difficult moment for a large array of reasons. But what I liked the most was that I didn't feel that sort of sense of pressure from my teammates or anything like that, but also, I mean, they were playing so well as a group too, you know, so it's part of it was like, you don't want to ruin a flow or a dynamic, you know, so that was also another thing that was a bit on my mind too.
Now, I just want to ask about another injury, because I know you had a couple of concussions during a WNBA season. How's that going? Yeah. I saw the second one where you sort of stumbled and just kind of went down near half court, and it was, I got to admit, sitting in my lounge room, I was very concerned for your well-being. Mm-hmm. So where are you on the concussion protocols? Because, you know, there's only so many you can have, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a bit of an unlucky year. Like, everything I've had has just been unlucky, you know. I had a hit in one game first where it was I think it was an elbow or a head. I can't remember. I think it was an elbow that came down and got me in the jaw, and I was concussed. And so I was out for 5 weeks. And then my first came back, and within 2 minutes, I got hit in the head again. And that's when I sort of just went down at half as I was trying to run back. It was scary, because it's a hard thing. A concussion is a hard thing to describe to someone as well, because there's so many different symptoms that you can have. And it's a frustrating one too, because you think that you're doing better, and then you do something with exercise and you have all these symptoms sort of flare up, and it was really ongoing. So it's something that I was really worried about right before, because it was only a few months before the Worlds, and you know when you're wanting to be feeling right, and you realize that your head does take a long time to heal. And sometimes even now, weird things, you know, you can just do some weird things, even if it's just something like texting, and what you end up writing out is just so weird to, you know.
No, that's called drunk texting, Beck. That's called drunk texting.
No, 2 a.m. There was no one.
That's called Siri. That happens to me all the time.
It's called Siri.
Beck, but I just...
At least it's done now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I want to ask, and this will be my last question. What do we expect from Beck Allen the next 12 months? What are you doing? What are you playing? Where are you going?
Well, I hope to be in Valencia as soon as I can. So I'm thinking around November at some point, but there's no date yet. And we'll be in EuroLeague this year. And so, I mean, I'm just not putting any pressure on my comeback at this point. I know it's just going to be a bit of a slow start for me, but it's just going to be a really great, I think it's just going to be great for the team being in EuroLeague, because it's something that we fought for 2 years to get to. So that and we'll see. I think everything is open. I've got another year with New York. So after that, I've sort of got the next year sort of planned out, but Paris, that's the end goal, of 2 years time. So
absolutely.
I mean, nothing's set in concrete, obviously, but obviously working towards all of that.
Fantastic. Yeah,
fantastic. Now, we like to close the interview by throwing names at our guest, and you basically, the first thing that pops in your head is what you need to say back to us. So it's almost like a therapy. And that can just be a word, or it can be a sentence or an anecdote if you've got a good one. And I'll let Brad lead off, because he's got a couple of good ones for you.
All right. First one, Sammy Whitcomb.
Intense in a great way. Like, you see her celebrations, intense. I love it.
Love it. Yeah, love it.
Okay, I've got Olaf Lang.
Olaf, I just think of Kayla, because she does the best. Like, she can do his voice so well. She can. So I just think of his accent whenever.
All right, next one. We have to ask this one. Lauren Jackson.
Superstar. Yeah. Absolute superstar. And honestly, for me, so grateful to have played alongside her. That's something I've always wanted.
Great answer.
All right, I'm asking about, I think she was your roomie, Sarah Blitzer.
Oh, my absolute ray of sunshine and one of my favourite people. So, I was lucky to have her as a roommate in this tour, just with everything that went on.
Well, of course, Botti is Sarah's uncle, and I believe there may have been a dinner that you guys might have had.
Oh, yeah. And
you poor thing.
Wonderful moment.
And you had to sit next to Uncle Botti. Are you okay?
Well, I actually forced him to sit next to me and say, can I join? And as I'd already put my plate down and my drink, he had no choice, the poor guy.
I heard a little rumour that Botti was standing behind with his little bowl, just walking behind you, waiting for you, where you're going to sit, and he sat right in.
Where are you sitting? Oh, yeah, good.
Last one from me, Steph Talbot.
Just a hardcore player and gets it done. And she's just grown. Every year she's grown so much. So I'm really proud of how she played at Worlds.
Okay, I got one just recently retired, Leilani Mitchell.
Leilani Mitchell, just a really kind-hearted person. And, I mean, I don't keep in contact with her so much at all, but every experience that I've had with her has just been a really nice one.
Beautiful. Okay.
Beck, we are going to let you go. I could talk all day. You are absolutely amazing. And we can't thank you enough for coming on here. We love watching you. And like I said, you are now just my favourite Opal. I cannot wait to watch you do what you're about to do for the rest of your career. But look, thank you so much for coming on. We wish you all the best and you know, we really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. Honestly, I really did enjoy it.
You could hear the smile come through that pod, couldn't you? Just the whole Opal seems like that, Botti. She was just gorgeous, like just so happy and vibrant. And that was like Sarah, you know, when we had Sarah on, and we've spoken to Tess Madgen before, like all of it. They're just Sammy so Whitcomb, great. Right?
Absolutely. Lovely group of human beings, quite apart from being basketball players.
And you know what I love? Like when you ask him about those names and I'll say Sammy, it's the and then the answer, or then it's Sarah. You know what I mean? Which you just know that's coming from the heart. You know what I mean? Yep. There's no thought, well, what should I say here? You know what I mean? It's just coming from the heart. It's fantastic. All right. We're going to go straight into it. I want to know your nasty. Go for it.
My nasty actually still relates to Beck Allen because I think when she got hurt against Serbia, you know, it was a pretty serious looking injury. Mm. They have a day off and another day. I think they had one game and the day off, and then suddenly she's suiting up again, and then she's suiting up again for the game against China. And BA and its medical staff for the Opals have announced that there's no structural damage. She's fine. Subsequently, we discover that she had cracked ribs and a punctured lung. Now, someone in that medical staff needs to be hauled over the coals, or whoever appointed them needs to be taken a good look at, because that's just not acceptable. That jeopardised her entire career with, quote, no structural damage, unquote, which turns out to be rubbish.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Tell us
and
about
look,
your...
Can I just say, like, the good thing is those are theoretically not injuries that, you know, once she gets over it, it's fine. You know what I mean? So it's not like a career-ending injury or something. But I agree, it was. All right, my... Brisbane Bullets. Like, come on. I give them one game. I give them two games. I'm thinking, all right, come on. They've got to turn this thing. They're at home, sold out, blah, blah, all of this. Nah, this is not working, mate. You cannot have this. They've got their team. They've recruited. They've done it all. And, you know, what? The thing that I just don't like what I'm seeing from the Bullets is they're not playing for 40 minutes. There's no energy. It's like, well, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Yeah. Sobey doesn't look right. I commentated the game.
I agree with that.
Where he's sitting on the bench and he's rubbing his knee. And it's just something's not right for him. And, you know, I'll give him that bit of grace because you can see he might be struggling out there. But just there's no work ethic on there. And they run their plays and they're really good 1 minute and then they just go away from it the next. Mate, there's problems in the Bullets already. Don't like it, buddy. Not liking what I'm seeing.
No, I have a thing called the fraud squad, which is teams that sort of offer, suggest a potential, all that sort of stuff. And then you look at them and after a while you go, no, you're actually frauds. You know, you might get a game here and there and everyone gets excited about you. But, I'm starting to think
that. I had them in my six. I can't see how they
Long way to go. I'd like to see them. I'd like to see them win a few games on the trot, because I think probably James Duncan is feeling the heat too.
Oh, he's got to be. And you know what? There's questions as well. Probably Sammy Mack as well. You know, I love Sammy, but you know, this team, are the owners going to be turning around and go, well, what have we done? We're spending all this money, bang. So, but you know what it is? Coach's fault. He'll go if it doesn't change.
Now, we've been a little bit negative because there's just negative things to talk about, sadly. But we've got a new segment starting up, and it's called When You're Hot, You're Hot. When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. Okay, so the point of this segment is that each week we're going to nominate a team or a player and or that we think is hot. And I'm going to pop off first here and talk about When You're Hot, You're Hot, Craig Randall. That last quarter against Illawarra for the Adelaide 36ers, 17 points, and some of the most long-range three-pointers you've seen since Steph Curry. Oh, yeah. Just amazing. And with such a height, the beautiful arc on those shots, they were things of beauty. Yep, absolutely. When Craig Randall is hot, he sizzles. Have you got one, Brad?
Oh, I've got one. The New Zealand Breakers, when they are hot, they are hot. They're humming, man. Took care of Southeast Melbourne, and then they went to Illawarra and taught them a lesson. The score will show 26 or whatever it was. Mate, it was a 30 or 40-point game. They looked great. Loved what Lee Arthur did on defense. He was outstanding.
I know. You went on and on about it.
Oh, mate. did I go over? Was it too much? Do you know what I mean?
No, like, now I just, you are. Now
yeah,
you
okay. But I just loved the coaching side of it as well. Right, yes. They take Tyler off. Isaiah, you're coming off. They're putting Tyler on. You're going on. I love those mind games, how coaches play it. And I'm telling you, if a player is worried about a defender, then don't give him an out. Don't put that next guy onto him and think, I'll just give him a couple of minutes break. Don't give him that out. So I thought that was brilliant. New Zealand Breakers, you're hot. Yeah.
Got to agree with you. Very hot. William McDowell-White, what a performance
brilliant.
He put in.
Brilliant.
And just, I love the way the team rallied around Cam Glidden when he made some shots.
Yeah.
You know, and it was almost like, see that? Yeah, we knew you could do it. And, you know, just that general good atmosphere within that group. Mm. Yeah, got to agree.
Mm. All right, mate. Well, that's it. Oh, before we go, let's just talk next round. We'll just pick a couple of games. All right? There's a figure. Right. So I'm first going to go to you. I think there's about three good games here. Real quickly, I want your thoughts on it. Sydney-Adelaide, Friday night, kudos.
I think Sydney wins this. I'm amused at what Paul Smith does. I know a lot of people get upset at the silly things that he says, but as someone who used to write silly things to get crowds involved, I totally understand where he's coming from. I think it's going to be a good atmosphere. I'm not yet convinced by the 36ers. I know they beat the Phoenix Suns, but I also know they got flogged by the Oklahoma City Thunder, which no one seems to mention. So I'll be thinking that Sydney will be winning that. What about yourself?
Yeah, look, it's hard for me to go. If Adelaide come out and have that shooting display, the Kings won't have an answer because no team in the league will, right? But, I'm Sydney. I'm with you. The next game, who I'm looking forward to, Tasmania, Perth in Tasmania.
Well, at the time we're recording this, we don't know if Perth has gone on with an appeal to Jesse Wagstaff's.
You've got to assume he's not going to be there. You've got to
assume. Assuming he's not going to be there, then I'm tending to lean towards Tasmania. I know the tendency is always to go with the big name team when they play Tassie, but just look at their record. Yeah. You know, I know they started a little bit unshakily, but now they're moving. They're moving. I like Tasmania, perhaps.
Yep. To Tasmania for me. And the third game, which, if you would have asked me this 3 weeks ago, I would have said, let's not talk about that one. Cairns versus New Zealand in Cairns. Two teams that are humming.
Two teams that are humming. Two teams that actually have their own rivalry, which the rest of the world seems to forget, but they've played off in two championship series. Yes. Now, they have history. And, yeah, both these teams are going really well. I'm curious if Tajir McCall plays, how that impacts on Cairns, because they looked actually pretty good without him. And I'm a big fan of his, so that's an interesting one. Who do you think?
I'm going New Zealand. Yep, I think New Zealand will win that one. Wrap it up, and we've got one more question for you. Peyton Siva going to Illawarra. Good signing or not?
At this particular point, yes, a good signing. And hopefully he's able to give us his best, because his best was pretty good.
Yeah, I think he'll help them, and I think it will help Tyler Harvey as well, because he's struggling without that pure point guard. Although Lockie Dent's done a great job.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a Batman villain? Harvey Dent, their backcourt. Harvey Dent. I reckon he sees Two Face or something in the Batman. I don't know.
Wasn't he in suits or something? I don't know. All right, everyone, have a fantastic week, and we love it. And thank you to Beck Allen; she was outstanding. Botty, have a great week, my man.
You too.
See you next week, all.
You know, you mentioned about having dinner. Actually, the Opals invited friends and family back after games during the World Cup, back to their hotel if you wanted to go. So we did. And because obviously with the Sarah connection, and Beck joined us at a table. She was sitting next to me, and I know I probably shouldn't say this, but she is gorgeous. And I sort of turned to look at her, and I was asking her about playing in Valencia. And I said, you know, how's your Italian? And she sort of very nicely said, no, it's in Spain. And that's when I realized that I was talking gibberish, and I was thinking Venice. And I thought, pull yourself together, for crying out loud. She is a breathtaking young woman.
I have to deal with it all day, every day with you. I hear you.